Hey there, thanks for joining me on this edition of Fit Friends Happy Hour. My name is Katie Hake and I am your host. Today, I'm going to share a few quick tips on how to get stronger both physically and mentally in the new year. Welcome to Fit Friends Happy Hour, a podcast about all things nutrition, fitness, and life in your 20s and 30s, all from a non-diet lens. I'm your host, Katie Hake, and I'm a registered dietitian nutritionist and certified personal trainer. Join me here every week as I talk with interesting people and experts from all walks of life about their relationship with food, exercise, and their bodies. I am on a mission to help you redefine the word fit, to help you stop quantifying and start living. Learn to stop measuring your success by the scale and find your fears. Okay, before we dig into today's episode, can I have a minute? This is my podcast. Can I have a platform to just let it out? So if you follow me on Instagram, you know that homegirl does not have the best luck with cars. So I had a car. It broke down. I don't know what happened to it. It broke. It didn't work. It didn't get me from point A to point B anymore. So whole ordeal, bought another car, and worst case scenario, the transmission goes out. So I get the transmission fixed. It's parked on the street. Less than, I don't know, a couple months later, it got hit by somebody who ran a stop sign. Was about to get that fixed. Less than 2 weeks later, I'm walking out of my door. It's a Monday, feeling good, positive attitude. And I hear that same exact crash that I heard from that first hit of my car. And somebody hit my car and drove away. So they completely totaled it. So I ended up finally getting another car. Today I walk out and I have a flat tire. Now, maybe it's because I've been through so much car stuff that it doesn't rattle me like it used to. I just say, oh, okay. Oh, well, it is what it is. We're moving on. But then I got to thinking, I've been working with a lot more female athletes, particularly younger athletes, high school, college level, in terms of nutrition. And they have such a get it done, no excuses, like just figure it out mindset that it really got me to thinking, how can we, you know, your average fitness enthusiast, I consider myself an athlete some days, but how can we have more of that? How can we have more of that resiliency? And I don't think it's a coincidence that these females have such a fierce mentality who are also athletes. I think there's definitely something to be learned here. So what we're going to do today is we're going to dive a lot deeper into how can we get stronger physically. So I'm going to focus specifically on strength training and creating a plan. Like, we know strength training is good for us, so why don't we do it? We're going to talk about that, but then also tie in how can we get more of that athlete's mindset to make us more resilient, to make us stronger and more grit to persevere and to push through and to accomplish the things that we want to accomplish in our life, whether that's personally, whether that's physically, whether that's mentally, you know, whatever it is, you can tie this into all different areas of your life. I strongly believe, this took me a while to get to this belief, but after working with a lot more clients, I do feel and I do believe that you can still have fitness goals while taking a more intuitive approach with food. I was unsure of my belief because I knew that that's something that worked for me. I knew from my own personal experience, but it wasn't until I've really been out there working in the field with many women and I've seen it. So now I've got kind of confirmation, I've got evidence that this approach works in the female athlete population. And I think there's so much to be said about that because so many people fear that exercise and a non-diet approach can't go hand in hand. And that is part of my job, part of my mission in life is to help you have the aha moment to go, no, I can be fit. I can be strong. I can feel a certain way physically while also feeling a certain way mentally around food as well. Now, transferring some of the focus on food onto fitness, while yes, it can be a great step to moving away from the focus on weight loss, but a little plug for an episode coming up. I'll be interviewing personal trainer Casey Zavalletta. She's in Toronto, but she has a strong background in fitness. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that episode of how transferring some of those that focus from food to fitness is not a permanent fix. So I want you to keep that in the back of your mind as you start to set fitness goals. Question yourself, where am I coming from as far as the motivation of fitness goals? And, you know, we don't want to go to the extreme where it becomes orthorexia or this obsessive compulsion with exercise. And I speak that and I want to talk about it openly because I've been there and you've heard me say a lot of my story comes from having this really unhealthy relationship with exercise. So stay tuned to that episode where we'll talk a little bit more about the signs and things to look for, but just keep that in the back of your mind. So another thing happened this week that really inspired me to record this episode is, let me tell you a little story about Cheryl. So Cheryl was in her 50s. She was one of my very first personal training clients. Homegirl came to me and she had never touched a weight. She really didn't exercise much at all. And it's been so amazing because then I log on Facebook. We're now Facebook friends. This has been, oh my gosh, I don't want to look it in the eye of how long it's been since I've graduated, but it's been almost 5 years since I graduated from Purdue University and since personal training her, and we're friends on Facebook. And now I see that she's becoming a personal trainer and she's such an advocate for strength training and she's showing off this muscle that she's got. And I had all the trainer happy mama feels to see that she really has made that lifestyle change and she gets it. She gets the reason and the benefit and the power of strength training, not just for her physical health, but for her mental health. And it starts right there. It starts with, how can I be healthier? You know, we've got to redefine what the word fit means for us. We've got to redefine what health means to us because it looks so different for everybody. I really want you to think and tap into that. What does it look like for me to be healthy? Does it look like for me that I need to be the same body type as this physique competitor? Or maybe for you, that just means I want to roll around on the ground with my niece and nephew, and I want to be able to jump back up and I want to be able to chase them and I want to be able to, you know, lift them in the air. And for me, I do cheerleading stunts with Caroline. Like, I want to be able to do that for a long time to come. And if we can really start to tap into what is our goal, what is the purpose, what is the driver behind physical activity, that's what's going to keep you motivated. That's what's going to help keep you getting out of bed, showing up on the days where you don't feel like it, because that's so much more ingrained, that's so much more personal, it's so much more applicable and enjoyable than focusing on a number on the scale or a body fat percentage on some sort of tracker. So number one, define your goal and create a plan for that goal. So let's say, for example, you want to get stronger. Okay, well, what does that mean? Does that mean you're going to start strength training? Does that mean you measure strength as being able to do a pull-up? Maybe that means being able to do something body weight related. Maybe that means you want to run a marathon, right? You're thinking of more muscular strength and endurance. We've got to define what strength means to you, because just saying, I want to be stronger, that can mean so many different things. And we know with anything in life, with any goal that we're trying to put clarity around, our brains need that clarity. Our brains need to know, what exactly is it that I'm focusing on? Because if we just have these loosey-goosey goals, our brain doesn't have anything to attach onto and to focus on and to celebrate. And it's very easy to lose sight of the goal that I want to get stronger. If we are focused on trying to do our first pull-up, or I know my coworker was really excited and that was a big goal of hers, was to be able to do a ring muscle-up. If you've ever done CrossFit, they do these crazy kip and swing gymnastics ring pull-ups. And that was one of her goals. And so it's got to be very clear and concrete. So really think about that and define that, because then that's going to help you define your plan. If we don't have the goal, we can't make the plan for that goal. Second, decide how you will track the strength. Maybe it's journaling. Maybe it is using the InBody. Now, I will warn you, I'm going to say this right now. If I would have used the InBody and body fat percentage and muscular strength, you know, the great thing about these different tools out there is that it does show you your body composition. So you can get very concrete about going, well, I want to gain 3 more pounds of muscle, or, you know, you want to shift that composition. But I want to warn you, because I don't think everybody is ready to see that. We think that it's motivating. I was just talking to a client about this morning. We get on the scale, we get on the bod pod, because we think that number is going to be motivating. And what ends up happening, you can message me and I would love to hear if I'm wrong, is we get fixated on that number and we get frustrated, we get upset, we feel like shit when it's not the number that we hoped it would be. And it creates this cycle of restricting, controlling, being, quote, better, and the cycle continues. So if that's you, if you know that seeing numbers have that trigger on you, don't set that as your way of measuring. You know, there are so many different things that we can measure, that we can track, that aren't numbers. And so I almost would caution you against doing that. I think you've got to be to a place where you've really healed your relationship with your body and food in order to look at the scale, or in order to look at the muscle mass that you have. You've got to be to a place where numbers are just numbers and they're not a trigger for you. And so that looks very different for everybody. So keep that in the back of your mind. That may not be the best option. But some other great options in order to track your strength are just keeping a journal. I bought a $2 little notebook from TJ Maxx, and it's pink and it's cute, and it has a little, you know, band that wraps around it to keep it all together. And I use that to write all my workouts. And when I do strength training in particular, I write down the weight that I was using. So I find this particularly helpful when I am doing strength training, when I'm doing barbell work such as squats or deadlifts or bench press, because for me, I love to see my progress. I love to see how much stronger I'm getting, how many more plates that I can add on week to week or month to month. Or even it's motivating if I haven't been tracking for a while and I go back and look at what I was doing 6 months, and you can really kind of track, okay, am I improving? Is it time for me to increase the weight that I'm lifting? And it's just a space for you to write down how you're feeling. Sometimes I'll track, how did this workout feel? What was my energy level? How was it to get through? Where was my mind at? Was it just a busy, stressful day and it was really hard for me to focus in on this workout? I kept checking my phone, or I make little notes. And you know, we can't measure what we don't track. So I think journaling is an awesome place to start. Maybe it's a feeling. Like, I know that sounds woo-woo when we're talking about strength training and making gains, but I know you. You are emotionally driven. Otherwise, you wouldn't be listening to this podcast. So maybe start tracking just how strength training makes you feel. You know, I talked about using that little notebook and writing down your feeling. I am a big proponent of pen to paper because we can use an app, we can write in our notes, but I think there's something magical that happens when we take pen to paper and we write down how we're feeling, whether that's both physically, whether that's mentally, whether that's emotionally, because it's very similar to eating, right? And this helps our mental strength as well. The more we can tap into how we are feeling, we start to remove the emotion and we can start to feel food. We can start to feel workouts for what they are physically. We can feel the physicality of it versus all the mental junk that comes along with pushing ourselves outside of our limits. Tip number three is to create a progressive training overload. So this can apply to whatever your plan is when it comes to strength training, whether that's a number of days that you're going to strength train, whether that's, you know, number of pull-ups that you're going to do. So there's certain ways that we can progressively overload the body. And we talk about overload. Imagine if you were doing bicep curls, right? And every week you did 5 pound bicep curls. Well, eventually our bodies are amazing. Our bodies are smart. Your body's going to figure out, yeah, I can do this. And it's not going to be challenging anymore. And so we have to continually progressively meaning over time, load the muscle in order to create a stimulus, in order to see a result. So we can do that by a variety of ways. We can, number one, switch up the exercise selection. So maybe you're changing the actual movements or the exercises performed in regards to strength. Now, if you're doing strength training, you got to do the whole body. Keep that in mind. There is no such thing as spot reducing. We can't just say, I want shoulders, so I'm only going to do shoulders. Like, you got to do the whole thing. It's not that easy. The other thing you can manipulate is the intensity. So maybe the intensity means the amount of resistance or load, or, you know, whether that's pounds, whether that's thickness of a resistance band. That's another way to change intensity. If you want to get real nitty gritty with this, you can research. I'll post links to different things, but maybe you meet with a personal trainer, or you've got a good friend who's got a good background in fitness and can help you out with this. Find out what your one rep max is, or maybe it's a 5 rep max. And you can actually do calculations of percentages based on what the max is for you. And that's a good way to figure out what is the appropriate amount of weight for you. The next way to manipulate is by repetition. So that is the complete range of motion of, let's use our bicep curl, for example. When we lengthen, when we lower that weight towards our quad, that is considered lengthening of the muscle. And then when we bring that weight back up to our shoulder, that is shortening of the muscle. And so that would be considered one repetition or one rep, that lowering and that shortening. Typically, we express the number of reps as the number of times that we do it for a complete cycle. So let's say we do 5 reps or 10 reps or 15 reps versus sets is the total amount of repetitions to be completed at one time. So if you're looking up a program or you're writing a program or, you know, shameless plug, I do have a strength training program that you can purchase for like less than $5. It's less than your Starbucks that you're probably going to get on your way to work. If you go to katiehake.com/shop, I think Emily will confirm. We will put the right links in our show notes because my team is awesome. So maybe manipulate how many times you're going to lift that weight and how many rounds or sets that you're going to lift that weight. Another way to manipulate, there's 2 other ways, is tempo. So if you've always done up one, down one, maybe you slow things down. You're probably very familiar with this tempo type of training if you've taken a group exercise class or something that's music driven. So maybe you count, think bicep curl again. We count up for 3 counts and then we lower for 1. That is just a different way to switch up the load or switch it up, create the challenge. And then lastly, the rest interval. So thinking about the time between each exercise that we're allowing that muscle to recover, to refuel, and to get ready to perform more work. So the actual length of the rest interval is determined by the load and the training outcome. So, you know, if you're going for a 1 rep max, or let's imagine you're doing a back squat with a barbell on your back, well, the heavier weight you do or the closer to that 1 rep max, you're going to need a little bit longer to recover in order to restore that muscle energy to get those pathways firing again before you can do that same thing. That's also a really great way to just keep yourself on track when you're exercising and not check your phone and say, okay, I've got 1 minute rest between sets, so you don't get distracted by the scroll on your Instagram. You set timers, you're efficient, you're in and you're out and you go. Okay, tip number 4 is tapping into more about how you feel after strength training. This ties into that early tip just a little bit, but it goes back to the 1960s. I mean, researchers in that era, they proved that our attitudes, and when we think attitude, that's either a positive, negative, or a neutral perception. Attitudes are based on our cognition. And when we think cognition, we think facts, beliefs, but also emotions. So how do we feel about strength training? You know, our attitude towards lifting weights and getting strong is really going to be tied into how we feel about it. If you don't truly believe in strength training and your only motivation for getting in the weight room or picking up a weight is because you're listening to this podcast and because I'm telling you to, well, that's not going to motivate you. Like, you've got to understand the why. You've got to educate yourself in order to understand and in order to apply it to you. Because if you don't truly believe in it, I really challenge you to dive into the research, understand why it's so beneficial, but then apply it to you. So I will be sharing a link to kind of an article that explains this a little bit better. And I think it's a psychology article that just explains why I know that strength training is good for me. I know that eating vegetables is good for me, but why don't we do it? 9 times out of 10, it's because of our perceptions, our beliefs, our attitudes towards these behaviors. And if we're only looking at what somebody else has told us to do, we're really missing the point. And we've got to find how these different behaviors or the motivation behind it, how it applies to us, because the attitudes towards our feelings are stronger. And this is exactly why we know we should eat more spinach or we should lift more weights, but we don't, because usually there is some sort of other emotion or something else that's tied to it that's holding us back. Okay, the last tip I'm going to leave you with is ask yourself what worked in the past and what didn't. Maybe you need to try something new. Maybe it's a chance to hire a personal trainer. You know, and when you hire a personal trainer, that doesn't mean that you have to meet with them twice a week, every week for 6 months. You know, you're smart. You're listening to this podcast. I'm guessing that you already do exercise or you've exercised in some form of shape of your life. So maybe meeting with a trainer just a couple times is a great opportunity for you to have your form looked at, just to check in and kind of see, okay, am I doing this correctly? Can you give me some tips, some feedback? Or maybe you go, hey, this is what I plan to do. What do you think? I think that's such a quick and easy and beneficial way to just get one-on-one expertise one-on-one advice, opinion about making sure that you're not just doing it safe, but maybe giving you a little bit more knowledge to help you keep going. So for me, I feel like I'm always setting new fitness goals, but I've decided this year that I want to be a faster runner. I just want to feel good. Like, I'm really tapped into the feelings right now, if you can't tell, all about the feels. But I personally have been going to Orange Theory Fitness. They are a boutique studio that's here in Indianapolis, but they're all over the country, all over the world. But I've been going there twice a week because for me, I like to show up and not have to think about it. I love being able to program my own workouts, but sometimes I like to just go in and then I don't have to have my phone. Like, that is a really bad habit of mine, is that when I go to strength train, I keep my phone, I'm changing my podcast, I'm answering texts, I'm getting on Instagram, and it's a really bad habit. So I like the fact of walking into a studio, keeping my phone in the locker, not having to look about it, and I don't think about it. Like, I'm so driven and focused on what's happening in front of me that it allows me to really get the full experience and full benefit of a workout. So I decided that I'm going twice a week because they are more high intensity workouts. So running on the treadmill, rowing, lifting weights. And I really want to push myself in those workouts, particularly with running, because that's one of my goals, is to get faster, to get stronger. So I told myself, well, if I can go twice, that I feel like is a good number for me, right? That may look different for you. Twice a week for me to just like go all out, focus in, and the rest of the workouts between are more for my fun factor, right? Just to kind of do what feels good. But I know I'm getting those two intense workouts per week that help me feel good and making progress towards my goal. So it's something new, something switching it up. And for me, it's working right now. Will it work forever? Probably not. I'll probably have to switch it up again. But tapping into what's worked, what hasn't worked, and maybe what's an area that you can try to improve on for next time. Or maybe what's an area that you can try to improve here and now. Okay, guys, that's it for today's episode. Quick and easy tips. Hopefully you've got a game plan and you're ready to implement and just learn more about why you should strength train. So if you're looking for a plan, I'm not selling. This is a service. Like, I am taking the guesswork out of it for you. I created a while back, it's an 8-week strength training program, but it does incorporate some metabolic resistance training. So what does that mean? A little bit of cardio, a little bit of strength, total body. I think it's fun. I may be a little bit biased, but less than $5, you can go to katiehake.com/shop. But you know how to reach me. If you have any questions about strength training, any follow-up questions, maybe you want to see more workouts, find me on Instagram or head on over to our Facebook page. Just go to Facebook and search Fit Friends Tribe. Request to join, and that is where I post questions. You know, it's a place for you to connect with other females who are just where you're at, and they're looking to be better versions of themselves. So head on over to Facebook. Let's connect in there, and we'll talk about this week's episode, and maybe we'll give you some more tips, exercises that you can implement into your plan this week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Fit Friends Happy Hour. If you liked this episode, don't forget to share it with a friend. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook at Fit Friends Happy Hour. Talk to you next time.